The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. A lot going on today, as I'm sure if you haven't been paying attention, you're sitting there in your cubicle at work doing your thing. The quarterbacks are falling off the board, and none of them, as of yet, have said that they're coming to the Arizona Cardinals. And that could change as we are sitting here with free agency. It's not supposed to start till tomorrow, although the tampering period started yesterday. So there's a lot of negotiations. There's already a lot of verbals. It's kind of like letter of intent day all over again. Kirk Cousins has already said where he is going to go. He hasn't, but it's being reported where he's going to go. The same thing with Case Keenum, and how does this impact the Arizona Cardinals? We will get to all of that coming up here shortly. Also, it's a big day for ASU football. So let's get started here. Brought to you by Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support. Sagicor Now. Guys, when was the last time you looked at your life insurance, just took a look at it and said, boy, this makes a lot of sense, or Brad, I don't have any? Just log on to Sagicor Now. Get yourself a free quote. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus is going to join us within this hour. There's a couple other guests that may drop in, or one in particular, but I think on this day of quarterbacks going everywhere, I'm not anticipating that. We start out, though, with the big story here locally. There's two big stories today. One is LeBron James is in town. The other story is Herm Edwards has his very first day out on the practice field at Arizona State. Spring football started this morning about a half hour ago, and Jordan Hamm for Sports 360 is out there. You guys are outside the bubble, correct?
That is correct, yep.
And big crowd to see Coach Edwards?
Yeah, there's a pretty big crowd, both of media and fans. Actually, you mentioned that things got kicked off about 30 minutes ago. Coach actually beat all of the media here to the field. So he seems pretty amped up to get going. But, yeah, there seems to be a little bit of a buzz right now to see not only Coach Edwards, but the entire new coaching staff that's here.
All right, can you tell anything in a half hour of watching them? Because that's what they let you guys record, is a half hour. Is there Herm Edwards barking around? Is he different than Todd Graham? It's his first day out there. Did you see anything different out of him, Jordan?
Well, Coach Edwards brought his dancing shoes when they let the music go, and they had Nelly going. They had a couple different songs during warm-ups, and he was not shy about the dance moves. So it does seem,
wow.
I can't think of the last time I saw Todd Graham walk with much of a rhythm or jive or anything like that, but Coach was definitely bouncing around and having some fun. So it does seem, at least in the spring, it seems like it's a pretty loose group. A lot of guys were excited to get back. You saw Manny Wilkins get here quite early as well to get going and get to work.
All right. I'll let you go off that. Come on back up here, and we'll see you around. There's Jordan Hamm. He's live over at ASU, where they have spring football workouts underway. Okay, so let's go through this. We can do a whole hour today on what's going on now with the Arizona Cardinals and what direction they should go. And we're also going to get into March Madness and all of that, because it gets started tonight with a couple playing games, and then Arizona State is in tomorrow. I thought it was semi-ridiculous to see Larry Scott and the Pac-12 come out last night with this, we're going to reform college basketball. And they listed all this stuff after getting basically shut out in the tournament. And is it their way of saying, well, we got it figured out here? No, this is not a good time. This is a better time to just disappear. I want to get into that a little bit. And Tiger, too. And I'm forgetting about LeBron. How can I do that? So we'll have that, too. But to begin with, so Kirk Cousins going off the board. Kirk Cousins going to go to Minnesota. Case Keenum is going to go to Denver, both those being reported today. Where does this put the Arizona Cardinals? Let's break down each one of these. Kirk Cousins is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. More importantly, he's going to get a fully guaranteed contract. The NFL, it's one of those spaces in sports where you hear these obscene numbers. But in the NFL, those numbers really are never true. The players, and I'm almost always on the player's side in this when it comes to the NFL, because they just get screwed. Yeah, this player gets paid X amount. Well, none of it's guaranteed. What is guaranteed is the signing bonus. Well, no, that changed today. Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed contract. Good for the player. Good for him. The downside, if you're a Cardinal fan, is he is staying in the NFC. If you look at the NFC and how the NFC is laying out, with Aaron Rodgers coming back to Green Bay and now Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota, a team that had a great playoff run last year. You look at the job that John Lynch has done up in San Francisco in such a short period of time in getting Jimmy Garoppolo, the Cardinals' foes within the NFC, the NFC West, they have all got their quarterback situation figured out, but the Cardinals do not. I'm not banging on them today because they still haven't made their move. So because Cousins is off the board, are you looking at Sam Bradford as the guy that can lead the Cardinals? Are you looking at Teddy Bridgewater as the guy that can lead the Cardinals? Are you looking at A.J. McCarron? Are we going to get to names like Mike Lennon? Are we going to get to names like the name that I like, Josh McCown? Most of you don't like that name because all you've seen out of Josh McCown is him getting his head kicked in. But I think now that Cousins is off the board and Keenum is off the board and Drew Brees is staying in New Orleans, and that was a pipe dream. That was filling clicks for about 6 hours yesterday. Well, let's do a story on Drew Brees. He might be the guy. Click, 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 click. Oh, what do you know? It didn't happen. It wasn't going to happen. So I look at this and say the best case scenario here is you go get a quarterback in the draft. And you hit on that quarterback because when you miss, like they did with Matt Leinart and Jake Plummer, you go back to Jake and they hit on Jake to an extent. Getting Josh McCown and having a young guy come in to learn under Josh McCown. Josh McCown knows the deal that he's going to get booed and fans are going to want him off the field within a very short period of time. And they're going to want to see that player, that quarterback, come out on the field. They're going to want to see that player. They think it's the next Deshaun Watson where it's all going to go well. Instead, it may be the next Marcus Mariota where it just kind of sort of maybe tugs along and then maybe turns the corner. Maybe Steve Keim has a rabbit that he's going to pull out of the hat. But as I sit here, the last thing I think I want to see is Sam Bradford. A.J. McCarron, I'm okay with that. The dollar figures for these guys, if you tie up a bunch of money in a veteran free agent quarterback, it hamstrings you to do other things rather than if you hit on a kid that you draft, it gives you much more flexibility to go address other needs on the field. And Josh McCown is not going to go break the bank, and he'll be a very good mentor, he'll be a very good backup, and he's not here to win a Super Bowl. Let's be honest, guys, as we're sitting here today, as free agency is getting underway on the Cardinals' end, this is not a Super Bowl caliber team, top to bottom. It has some very nice pieces. I don't know how David Johnson's health is going to be. They're going to say, oh, he's going to be fine. He's going to be great. Yeah, you know what? I hear that every year in the offseason. Hope springs eternal. It's kind of like hearing last March from people within the organization openly on radio and television saying, John Brown's going to be great this year. Well, John Brown wasn't great. So let's not sit here and try to stir something up and make it sound like everything's peachy keen. Let's be realistic about this. Even though your wide receiver is in the twilight of his career, according to most people, I think Larry can keep signing one-year deals because that's the smart business move on Larry's part. He'll go out and produce, unless it's a quarterback like the John Skelton, Max Hall, Derek Anderson days where he about got his head chopped off out there. It was just dreadful. But I'm not going to sit here and get all wound up about Kirk Cousins going somewhere or Case Keenum going somewhere. I'm just not. You can't be reckless when it comes to free agency, and there is enough talent on this roster. But you can't just look at it as a one-year deal. You can't just say, well, this quarterback's going to lead us. There's other areas of need on this roster. Defensive line, offensive line, go down the list. So today there's a lot of people jumping off bandwagons, broken ankles on the I-10, the 101, heading out to the stadium. I get it. Fandom is taking over today because you didn't get Kirk Cousins, you didn't get Case Keenum, you didn't get Drew Brees. The smart play at this point is go find the veteran quarterback and then go draft. Make this thing go all the way into May and bring that quarterback here that understands that you're not going to be the guy long term. You're going to be a placeholder guy for a bit. You're going to hold it and keep it warm. And when the time is right, we're going to put this guy out on the field. And fans will rally. Fans love fresh blood at quarterback. They do. Mike Lennon? Like, Glenn's made a ton of money holding a clipboard with a ball cap backwards. Is this the place that could get Mike Glennon figured out? Is Mike Glennon going to want to be a good teammate to a rookie who comes in here and is drafted? If you don't think all quarterbacks are good teammates, you're sadly mistaken. I myself go the route. Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford, don't do very much for me, quite frankly. They just don't. Eric, where are you at on this today? When you heard the news that Cousins was diving out, were you disappointed on this one?
I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised because I figured that the Cardinals were a long shot. I know they were one of the teams mentioned.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't see him landing here. And I'm of your same opinion. It's a delicate situation when you're talking about throwing a bunch of money at an aging quarterback. I am a Teddy Bridgewater fan. I think he's really talented. I think he's very fragile. And that's a concern, too, because, you know, we've seen that before. You throw money at these free agent quarterbacks, they get hurt, and it's just wasted money. Good for Kirk Cousins for getting $84 million guaranteed. Like, that's in his bank account probably in the next couple weeks. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Cardinals need a quarterback. That's no surprise. But the free agency period isn't over yet, and there will be more.
Okay,
there will
so,
be more so, names named.
So if they go sign Sam Bradford,
I would much rather have Teddy Bridgewater because again, both are fragile quarterbacks. But Bridgewater is younger, and I just like his upside
okay,
more than
AJ
Sam
McCarron.
Sample size not really big.
Yeah,
I mean he's.
I'm okay with him more than the Minnesota guys.
Really?
Yeah, actually, I think there's actually something there, but.
And again, it's we don't know what kind of offense the Cardinals are going to run. And they said in the offseason that they were going to sort of tailor their offense around whoever the quarterback is. So I'm sure internally they are going through the names and trying to figure out, you know, what pieces fit best with the quarterback.
I mean, they say that, but come on. This quarterback can turn around, hand the ball off to number 31. This quarterback can turn around, throw the football to number 11. I mean, really, this isn't like they don't have a running game, but we don't know how good David Johnson is going to be. Everybody expects David Johnson to be great, but you don't know that as fact.
And the Cardinals are behind the eight ball, Brad. Look at the NFC West. You said it. Jimmy Garoppolo, good young quarterback in San Francisco. We all know what Russell Wilson can do, and we all know now what Jared Goff can do. That leaves the Cardinals as the team in the West without a quarterback.
The four highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL next year have never won a playoff game combined.
It doesn't surprise me.
Number one is now Kirk Cousins. Number two is Jimmy Garoppolo. Number three is Matthew Stafford. Number four is Derek Carr with the Raiders.
The NFL is crazy about quarterbacks. Just look at the draft.
So when you guys get all wound up about, oh my gosh, these guys, they haven't won a game in the postseason. Not one. All right, we're going to turn our attention over to the March Madness scene. After this timeout, a little bit later in the show, we'll have Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, lead NFL analyst, on Cousins, on Keenum, on quarterbacks would make sense for Arizona. We'll get his view from Pro Football Focus. Our television show, by the way, is tonight, following Suns and Cavs. We'll have that for you on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, before and after tonight's Suns-Cavs game and through the Week 16 airings. Back with more after this timeout. All right, so let's turn our attention now to March Madness, and I want to focus on U of A for a little bit and take some time in today's show on that front. We'll do some guests tomorrow and the next day leading up to their opening game. So DeAndre Ayton is now starting to get a whole lot of attention nationally, and find it somewhat obnoxious when people on Twitter go out of their way with the U of A to point out that, boy, it's sure funny how people are now realizing DeAndre Ayton is really good. Just get over it. DeAndre Ayton is terrific. He is a player that, as we have watched him this season, and I think any college basketball fan has watched him when they can watch him. I go back to the Pac-12 network on that. The thing about Ayton here in the postseason, you have to go back, I think, contextually. Eric and I were in Vegas last week, and from a context standpoint, DeAndre Ayton did not play well in his first game up there in Vegas. And he talked about things like the building was real big and there was some jitters and some nerves and all of that stuff. Is it going to be the same thing for him playing in Boise? It's another round. He's going to be put in positions that he has not been put in before, where he's got to sit in front of a lot of national media. There's going to be an overflow amount of media there wanting to nit and pick and get after DeAndre Ayton. to think that there's nobody in the DeAndre Ayton circle that has that is advising him of his status, that have not put into his ear at some point, you need to have a good showing here in the postseason. You would have to be absolutely kidding yourself. The people that will want to compare DeAndre Ayton to Marvin Bagley, we've been doing that here since December. And we've done it, fortunately, because we saw both of them in high school. Both of them were here in high school in Maricopa County, believe it or not. And so now nationally, that is going to become a thing. To have Duke play Arizona at some point would be fabulous, fabulous television. We all want to see the big man against the big man. If there were a way to have Duke take on Arizona, boy, what a matchup that would be, right? We would all be tuned into that. But I think it's very clear that DeAndre Ayton has taken himself to a spot where he should be the number one overall pick. It shouldn't even be debated at this point. He has stretched himself out ahead of others because he's shown at both ends of the floor just how dominating he can be. I thought it was interesting. We had David Griffin on a couple of weeks ago, the former GM of the Cavaliers, formerly with the Suns, breaking down talent. And he talked about DeAndre Ayton in the terms of he's surprised he doesn't block more shots. He's not more involved at the rim. If you look at a team like Xavier in this year's tournament, Xavier is the number one seed, and they've blocked 97 total shots in over 2,000 minutes of basketball, which means they're not shot blockers, which means when you get into March Madness, you got to have people protecting the rim. That's why I'm not picking Xavier to go all the way through. Little things like that that I look at. And then there's players that you haven't heard of as of yet, much like DeAndre Ayton out here. I have not seen Mikal Bridges at Villanova. I've not seen Villanova that much. I've not seen Daniel Gafford at Arkansas. I've not seen Mike Dom at South Dakota State. Mike Dom, an NBA scout's comment, Dom is a typical stretch forward center who can score. He is a proven scorer, has NBA three-point range, and a solid post game as well. So I want to see a kid at South Dakota State and just how good he can be. I've seen Aaron Holiday, and Aaron Holiday's pretty darn good. I'll take him on my team. I would take him on my team. Gonzaga always has somebody that is interesting on their roster, so I'll look at Gonzaga. When I'm talking about NBA guys, I've not seen Chandler Hutchinson at Boise State. Boise State beat GCU up at Boise. Haven't seen him. Would like to see him. DeAndre Hunter at Virginia. If Virginia, in fact, ends up playing in the Sweet 16 against the U of A, guard against guard, Hunter's only a freshman. You have Trier, you have Parker Jackson Cartwright. That, to me, is a very interesting matchup. And by the way, what did Virginia do to piss off the committee? You kidding me? Your Sweet 16 game is either going to be Kentucky or U of A? Well, how did that work out? Missouri's an interesting team because they've got players that have an NBA caliber about them. Michael Porter Jr. has not played much this season. And so there's names that we go through the next few weeks as we watch the tournament. There'll be players, especially given our hometown heroes of the hardwood here in Phoenix that stink out loud, that are going to have another top pick. The more that you watch Ayton, the more you want the Suns to lose tonight by 30 to Cleveland. The more you don't want them to win another game at all, because it's so obvious that if you add DeAndre Ayton rather than Alex Len or Tyson Chandler, that things might actually turn the corner for the first time since May 27th of 2010. Maybe these guys, the Suns, don't sit and watch college basketball. I don't know. If you've not watched DeAndre Ayton by now and watched him at great length and thought in the back of your head, boy, yeah, I'm making gobs of dough with a cruddy product that never wins a thing. Yeah, I've got a couple of nice pieces. I have a couple of nice employees here. A couple of employees I think could get it done. One's name is Booker. The other is Jackson. There's a kid named Warren. I might have a few employees here. I've got three. Unfortunately, in basketball, you need about seven or eight. You need three star players. Right now, I think they have one. Anybody who's going to tell me Josh Jackson is a star player, you're kidding yourself. DeAndre Ayton is going to be a star player. He's not going to be Greg Oden. Famous last words. You're rolling on this, right, Jared? Famous last words. He's not going to be Sam Bowie. Not going to get hurt. Doesn't have the body to get hurt, right? So as you look at the tournament and as it unfolds, yeah, we're picking games. We all have brackets that we're in, and it's fun and it's great. But because we've been in such a drought here in Phoenix, and anybody who's been in Phoenix longer than a nanosecond knows that when the Suns become relevant again, if they become relevant again, they will far exceed any other team in Phoenix. They just will, because this has been the team that has been here from the beginning. This didn't come from somewhere else, and it's been here longer than the baseball team. This can be a basketball town again. Unfortunately, I don't know if these guys downtown have seen DeAndre Ayton enough or not. Like, if you think adding Marvin Bagley versus DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley's a great player. But once again, you're not adding somebody who's that big of a difference maker, in my opinion, at his position. He's great. I'm not hating on him because of what he did at Corona del Sol. Some people accuse me of that. It's not true.
I think, Brad, it's easier to find guys like Marvin Bagley in the draft in future years than it is to find somebody like DeAndre Ayton.
Correct. I mean,
DeAndre Ayton, 7'1", 20 points, 11 rebounds, Pac-12 player of the year. He's been playing basketball for barely 5 years.
Right.
And he's already extremely skilled, and he's only going to get better. That's the scary thing about this kid. And when I say kid, he is still a kid, although he is a grown man when it comes to his physique and his body.
Well, he also doesn't
and his
have,
game.
He also doesn't have a lot of tread taken off the tire. He didn't go through all the nonsense of AAU ball and club ball since he's seventh grade, playing on court 5 at 8 a.m., court 6 at 9 a.m., and developing all these bad habits, and just having guys out there trying to shop players around.
And
that's what it is.
If anything, he has great habits. I mean, look at how much his body has changed since he got to U of A from the time he was in prep school. I mean, he's chiseled physique, and he still has amazing quickness, so nimble, and he's just kind of learning how to play basketball. It's ridiculous how good this guy's going to be.
Okay, so I think I was wrong on something about Alonzo Trier.
Okay.
In Vegas, I thought he was going to come out and just be a black hole. Ball go in, never come back to him, right? Or never go to anybody else. I thought that he started to figure out that, you know what, if I lob the ball inside, there's a pretty good chance we're going to score, and there's a pretty good chance we're going to win. I don't know if somebody got into his head, but it was when I watched him play, it was, wow, he's actually showing a teammate rather than behind the back, between the legs, launch up a silly 23-footer.
And you say silly 23-footer. When you lob the ball inside to your 7'1", Pac-12 freshman and player of the year, you will likely be the benefit of the defense switching and doubling.
And tripling.
Especially if you're a perimeter player like Trier is and a slasher.
So, you know, to that end, as you and I are sitting here right now, I got asked to vote on the Wooden Award. So I got to do that. I think it's tied in on the Heisman. So I got to do the Wooden Award. And to me, it's Ayton.
Man, you can make a case for Marvin Bagley, though, too. He's had a phenomenal year. But 21 points, 11 rebounds.
Here's the thing on Bagley. He's in a conference that does get more exposure than Ayton.
Of course. But it's a better conference. He's played against better competition than Ayton has.
Do you think?
Sure.
You think there's better bigs top to bottom?
I think there's better teams in the ACC than the Pac-12.
Well,
I don't
even
think that's debatable.
Okay. You're right. But head-to-head, mano a mano. I saw Bagley against Boston College earlier this year, and it looked like he was just in a stroll in the park. And it was an overtime game, and it was up at BC. I get it's a tough place to play, but I wasn't overly impressed. I'd still take him if I had the third or fourth or fifth pick. Like, if the Suns really blow this, I know they're going to say, well, it came down to lottery balls. Yeah, you should have stunk more. If they blow this and they settle for somebody else when this kid is so much further ahead than everyone, it just plays into the nonsense that's gone on here since 2010.
Yeah, they'll take, like, Trae Young. The player.
Oh, come on.
They absolutely possibly don't need.
No. We got this great guard.
Yeah.
The Suns take Trae. No.
But like Mo Bamba at Texas, if the Suns happen to slip down, he's a very good player. He's a really, really
he's
good.
He's not Ayton.
Of course not. But
Eric, if you work this hard to stink.
But the Suns always work this hard to stink. And what have we seen in the past?
They haven't worked hard enough.
But in the past few drafts, they haven't had the luck of the lottery.
Well, it's not the luck of the lottery. It's they haven't had a clue. They need to pull the plug around December on guys. They just don't do that. They think it's really smart and cute to go out and win games and keep guys out on the floor.
I don't know. They won one game in February. and it came on the last day of February.
So well,
the tank is
right,
in full effect.
Let's just see tonight. Let's just see the rest of this year. The game they won at Memphis. That was the game they won at Memphis. You don't beat Memphis. Memphis is right there with you. All right, I ran long in this segment, so I've got to get over to ASU, or else I'm going to get the Sun Devil fans all bent out of shape. And Tiger Woods, too. We'll get back into the NFL with Pro Football Focus's lead NFL analyst, Sam Monson, coming up at 10:50. On a day where Kirk Cousins is going to Minnesota, Case Keenum is going to Denver, what are the Cardinals going to do? Do any of these guys make sense? We'll circle back on that as well. Sports360AZ.com, our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, before and after the Suns-Cavaliers game, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Stay with us. So Arizona State plays in the playoff or play-in game tomorrow night. Playoff game. Play-in game. It is a playoff game. It is snowing in Dayton. Dayton, Ohio in mid-March. Eric, you and I should have had a travel meeting on this. You know, we decided that Vegas would be good. Dayton in the middle of March, not so good. ASU plays Syracuse tomorrow night. And, you know, when you look at the Syracuse-ASU matchup, I can go down the players. I'm just fascinated of Bobby Hurley against Jim Boeheim. Bobby Hurley and Jim Boeheim on the same floor coaching against one another. Jim Boeheim has been in 30 NCAA tournaments. Last year, the Orange were left out and they felt that they got hosed. They're kind of like USC. And so there's this matchup tomorrow night, and I've noticed a lot of national stuff already on Bobby Hurley, Danny Hurley, and the dad, Bob Hurley. A ton of national stuff that has already been out there. And really well-written stuff, where the dad has been watching Danny's season very closely. Danny was very emotional when Bobby got into the tournament. Danny and Bobby talk back and forth and compare notes, compare and contrast what's going on. And so I'm a fan of that storyline coming into this tournament and Bob Hurley Sr. The further that this goes, and if Arizona State is able to go on some sort of run, and do I think they can go on some sort of run? They've shown nothing at all in the last 2 months that give you a feeling that they are able to go on any sort of run. About as much life as they've shown is when they took care of the LA schools in Tempe. Their game last week against Stanford was just dreadful. Against Colorado was just dreadful. I keep saying Stanford was just dreadful. Against Colorado. I'm sitting there watching them in Vegas. They look lifeless. They look listless. They look like they just didn't care. And so if the guards can go on a scoring spree, then yeah, they could go on a bit of a run. It sounds pretty simple, sounds pretty easy. But anybody who says, unless you're an ASU fan and you're just, you know, you got your rose and gold colored glasses on and you don't see what the obvious is, which is this team has been horrible in the last 2 months. And even those around the program, I had some people really close to the program that told me in the tunnel in Vegas, there's no way we're getting in the NCAAs after this. So they made it. So, you know, do they go out and they crap the bed tomorrow night? It's hard to say what kind of season it's been for Arizona State. Like, if they lose tomorrow night, could you make the argument that this has been a great season for them? I don't think you can. You'll say, well, we made the tournament. Look, when you're the third-ranked team in the nation and you're undefeated at about the halfway mark of the season, and then the second half of the season, everything goes wrong and you get in somehow into the postseason, then you lose in a play-in game in snowy Dayton. Are there some things you could build off of? Sure there are. Sure there are. If they win tomorrow night, then I would say it's been a successful season. Just getting into the play-in game to me is not enough. Not when you're the ones that tell me, well, we beat Xavier and we beat Kansas and we beat Kansas State, and you go right down the list. But then you do nothing after that. In a conference this year that's not been good, that hasn't been good, that has another team in a play-in game in UCLA. And so I'm kind of stuck on this one. I'm a fan of where Bobby Hurley is going. I said this all last year during football season. When it was very obvious that Todd Graham was going to be fired, not might, but going to be fired, there was no backing of Todd Graham at all. And I said, the basketball program is in far better shape than the football program. And of course, people around the football program get all worked up and all bent out of shape. But it's a fact. You know, as Herm starts today over at ASU, I'm again, in the I trust Ray Anderson hiring skills and ability. I do.
It's interesting, Brad, because both of these teams, Syracuse and ASU, obviously they're in the playing games for a reason. They're both very, I mean, they're both very flawed.
Sure.
Syracuse lost to Wake Forest, which finished 11-20, and they also lost to Georgia Tech. So ASU isn't the only team in this game with bad losses. And this is typical ASU, really good offense, struggles defensively against Syracuse, really good defense, can struggle offensively. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Well, and it's odd. These play-in games happen so fast. I can't believe there are two games tonight. It just Selection Sunday was like five minutes ago, and they're playing games tonight.
Are our brackets due today?
I don't know. I haven't done a bracket yet. I'm usually...
Did you get the email?
I did, but I usually do brackets like fantasy football.
What are you talking
about? Like I just pass on it.
I put a gift card in there for everybody.
What's the value and to where?
$50.
$50?
$50.
We can't afford that.
$50. What are you talking about? We can't afford that. $50.
Can't afford that.
That's a good amount of money. You can go out and have some fun for $50.
I guess.
You could.
I guess. I better get you my bracket.
Do it. Crying out loud.
Did you do yours?
No.
Okay.
It's happening tonight. Maybe. I'll get around to it. Kind of like you. Sam Monson is next. Pro Football Focus NFL analyst, lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. It's been a busy day already in the NFL, so we'll turn our attention to that with Sam Monson. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, it's been a busy day in the National Football League. Welcome back, Brad Sussmat Football. AZ is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Before and after the Cavaliers and Suns game and 16 airings this week on Fox Sports AZ. You can check it out. Channel 686 on DirecTV, 1034 on Cox if you still have cable in this day and age. Sam Monson is with us, Pro Football Focus lead analyst and around the National Football League on a very busy day. Sam, I appreciate you joining us because I know it's a crammed day for you. Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins off the board. What do the Arizona Cardinals need to do? A lot to get to, but let's start first with the moves that have been made. Keenum going to Denver and Cousins going to the Vikings. What did you make out of those two moves?
Yeah, I actually like both these moves. I think they're both pretty smart. Keenum's deal is a relatively modest deal for a starting caliber quarterback now. For the Broncos, who didn't really have the ammunition to go hard after Kirk Cousins, I think it represents a pretty smart consolation prize, and it's not so high a contract that they have to be that concerned about what happens if he doesn't back up what we saw in 2017 in Minnesota. For the Kirk Cousins, that contract is genuinely fascinating because he had all the leverage in the world, which I think everybody was assuming was going to push that contract up into the stratosphere. But instead, he's used that contract to leverage guaranteed money. He's got 100% guaranteed by the looks of it for 3 years, which means he gets to hit the open market again in a few years' time when he's still in his prime. And for the Vikings, it makes sense for them because the byproduct of that means that they're not paying stratospheric quarterback money. He takes his place. He will be the best paid quarterback in the league in terms of average per year, but only by $500,000 over guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and Matthew Stafford. So it isn't resetting the quarterback market the way we thought it might, and it's not going to stress that Vikings cap situation the way everybody feared if they went hard after the top quarterback on the market. So that's a really fascinating contract that could be win-win for both sides.
Who's the better fit in each situation from your view? Cousins to the Vikings or Keenum to the Broncos?
I think both guys fit pretty well. I think those are both pretty well-matched quarterbacks. In terms of what we saw last year with Case Keenum, they're actually very close in terms of caliber as well. You know, Cousins is not a fantastic quarterback. He's a good quarterback that has the kind of high variances. He could be very good for a stretch, or he could be a lot worse than that for a stretch. Keenum, I think, is a little more conservative, but they ended up, in terms of PFF grading, in the same kind of ballpark. That season from Keenum in 2017 was about par with Kirk Cousins' three-year average as a starter in Washington. So, you know, you're probably, the Vikings, I think, have a safer bet with Kirk Cousins, but the flip side of that is they're paying significantly more money for that assurance.
Sam Monson is with us, Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst for a couple of minutes, sports360az.com with Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Turn your attention then to the Cardinals and the quarterbacks that are left out there that are free agents. Who or a couple make the most sense from PFF's view to come to Arizona?
Yeah, this is an interesting year for quarterbacks because for the first time in a long time, multiple starting caliber quarterbacks are on the open market and available. And three of them were coming out of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. The Vikings decided to move on from Case Keenum and presumably the other two quarterbacks now that they've got Kirk Cousins. So that leaves Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater as legitimate viable options for other franchises. Sam Bradford may be the perfect bridge quarterback to a rookie if that's the way the Cardinals want to go. Because the thing with Bradford is you just cannot trust what kind of state he's going to be in physically. His play may be the highest of any of the quarterbacks the Vikings had in terms of options. You know, week one this season against the New Orleans Saints, he threw some phenomenal passes and then came out with a fairly benign sounding injury that ended up shutting down his season. If you can get Sam Bradford in, he could definitely be a viable NFL starting quarterback, but you do need to look for the future because you can't guarantee he's going to be there long term. And Teddy Bridgewater is the big X factor in this entire quarterback market because he was playing some excellent football before he destroyed his knee, and actually I think had the potential to be even better once he was liberated from North Turner's offense, which I don't think played to the strengths of that Vikings team. It was all seven-step drops, stressing the pass protection a lot and kind of forcing Bridgewater to be this check-down conservative underneath passer. I think there's significantly more in the tank from him if that knee checks out and doesn't kind of take him off the rails the way knee injuries have for quarterbacks in the past. His market will be fascinating because his upside is so huge, but so is the risk.
A.J. McCarron is sitting out there. Josh McCown has been here before, and Josh McCown, to me, Sam, and I guess having known him and seen how he works, he's not going to come out here and set the world on fire, but he would be a bridge guy behind a rookie if the Cardinals go that space. At 15, they'd have to move up, from my view. What do you make out of the rest of the crop that is sitting out there? Mike Glennon's name has come up today, Josh McCown. Those are the names that we're hearing out here today. What do you make out of that?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't want to be the team that pays A.J. McCarron significant money. Mm-hmm. Anything beyond being a potential bridge quarterback, I think, would be a significant risk for him. But if you sign him to the kind of deal that Mike Glennon got in Chicago last year, which was ostensibly a three-year, $45 million contract that realistically was a one-year, $15 million deal, right, then I think an A.J. McCarron move makes some sense. Again, though, you've got to be bridging to somebody, and Arizona isn't in the same situation as Chicago was in terms of being able to target that rookie quarterback. Mike Glennon, I think, would be the same. I think he showed in Chicago last year that he is not going to be an extended long-term starter for anybody. At best, he's going to find another bridge job somewhere else to another rookie. After those top-tier quarterbacks, I don't think it's great, the market that we're looking at. Any of those guys would be very short-term stopgap options for a rookie quarterback.
So as your gut sits here today and this has played out, do you have a feel on this one, Sam? Which direction the Cardinals would go, should go?
I think they should target one of those Vikings quarterbacks. I think those two are the best guys available on this in this crop. They each have significant risks attached to them, and they're both injury-related, but dramatically different styles. You know, Bridgewater was one catastrophic injury, and Sam Bradford is more of a chronic problem. I think Teddy Bridgewater is the guy from that group, though, that has the potential to be a franchise quarterback still. He can come in, and assuming he is healthy, and ultimately the Vikings did get him on the field last season, albeit in mop-up duty late in games, just to try and get him back in the game. If he checks out healthy, he is, I think, the guy with the most upside of anybody in this group and could potentially transform a franchise without the need of just bridging to a rookie quarterback, which the Cardinals may not be in position to secure.
Before we let Sam go, Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst, joins us here for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona tonight, before and after the Suns-Cavs game, 16 airings per week. Sam, I'm interested on the quarterbacks in general. You saw Tyrod Taylor moved. You've seen these other moves at quarterback. Who has come out as a winner? Who has come out as a loser so far in this early stage of quarterback frenzy today with the Cousins move and the Keenum move too?
I like what most of the teams have done in terms of signing quarterbacks. I think the Vikings move does make sense. They lost a little bit in terms of they now have to fully guarantee that contract, but I think they more than made up for that in terms of not paying as much as they could have done in terms in overall salary cap and dollar value. I like what the Browns did in acquiring Tyrod Taylor, not because I think he's going to be a starter there, but because he gives them a fantastic safety net if they do swing and miss in the draft. You know, this right. is a franchise that hasn't been able to find any kind of viable quarterback play for the better part of 20 years. If they swing and miss again at the top of the draft, at least now they should still have a viable quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, who has he has deficiencies in his game, but at the bare minimum, he is a starting caliber quarterback who you can win with if everything else in that roster is in dramatically better shape, which it should be for Cleveland. I don't think anybody has made a dramatic misstep so far in terms of their quarterback moves.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight, Sam. Thanks.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Sam Monson there, Pro Football Focus. Busy day around the National Football League. And, of course, on the Cardinals end of things, you're sitting here now with Mike Glennon, Josh McCown, Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater. And to me, it points more towards the draft and what direction they're going to go. Tonight on the Football AZ Show, Brock Huert will be with us, ESPN college football analyst. And we'll break down the quarterbacks in the draft this year. We'll also be out at Arizona State. Today is the first day of the Herm Edwards era. First practice this morning, you'll hear from Coach Edwards. And much, much more. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. The show repeats throughout the day here on Sports 360 AZ and also goes into a podcast on AZ Central. This show repeats as well on AZ Sports. We appreciate their support at the Arizona Republic. Have yourself a great day.